When politicians get on Instagram, students love it. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. We all know teachers have a hard job, and usually social media is more of a classroom distraction than a help. But recently, I took a field trip to Madison Park Academy, a public high school in East Oakland, California, where one teacher says Instagram is making his job teaching government a little easier.
Can someone just remind us real quickly, what are some of the ways in which the judicial branch affects our daily lives? Where do we leave off with this last class?
That's Jacob Levy, a social studies teacher here. And that silence after his question, that's the sound of teenagers searching for a connection.
I think the hardest thing about teaching government right now is that a lot of it can be really abstract.
It turns out that the freshman class of Congress is opening a live stream into how government works. New members of Congress like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York and Dan Crenshaw of Texas, the former Navy SEAL who wears an eye patch, are as fluent in Instagram as Mr. Levy's students. And their posts are actually teaching students some facts about government.
Guys, there are secret underground tunnels between all of these government buildings.
Ocasio-Cortez's million-plus followers get to follow right along as she learns how Congress works.
So you also get a freshman yearbook. It really is like orientation. And I get a folder with my ID, like a college ID.
Republican Crenshaw tweets and Instagrams about his thoughts on the tax code, falafels in the Middle East, and his new digs in Washington, D.C.
When you come visit me, and I hope you will, this is what you will see.
Back in Oakland, Levy noticed the politicians' posts and brought them to class.
I just happened to show it to them, and once I saw that they had a positive reaction, the next two classes, it was their warm-up activity, was take out your phones and check out these accounts on Instagram. And the students were a little surprised because that's different from their normal class warm-up activity.
Much of the student body at Madison Park Academy is Latino, and the students there say Ocasio-Cortez's feed in particular makes government more accessible. William is 16. He says government hasn't felt that real until now.
Yeah, because she's hella young too, and that's makes it more relatable to us because she's just about 15 years older than me or something, like around that, and that's not a huge gap.
Diego is 17. He said relatable also means achievable.
Like this whole idea, you don't have to be like old to like do something big, like young people have power.
And Diego said he wants in.
Ever since I was young, I was thinking of running for like Congress and president. Like, yeah, like I was thinking of doing like once I'm like around 35 and see what stage in life I'll maybe run for something like that.
According to the Congressional Research Service, almost every member of Congress is on Facebook or Twitter, but Instagram is on the rise. About 52% of House members had Instagram accounts as of 2017, and almost 75% of senators. And Levy says it's the authenticity and the candor of these younger politicians that's connecting with his students.
I just don't think government has to be so dry. It doesn't need to be so boring. And especially for 17-year-olds who've got a million other things going on in their life, if they're learning about the legislative branch or the judicial branch or whatever it is, I think it's all for the better that younger congressmen and congresswomen are using Instagram this way.
Basically, as digital natives take over government, then government will be live streamed. And now for some related links. Okay, I am aware that there is some cognitive dissonance in doing a story about how good Instagram can be for kids in government when we're all still processing the all-new Facebook drama that came about Tuesday night in a way-too-long New York Times article about all the access Facebook gave to its favorite partner companies like Bing, Spotify, Amazon, and others. For what it's worth, the Wall Street Journal says it revealed a lot of these partnerships back in June, which is true. But it doesn't stop us from being consistently surprised about how many sites and apps connect with Facebook and vice versa, and how when we, as Facebook put it in its response online, explicitly log into services with our Facebook sign-in, are striking a much bigger bargain than we think we are. Like, that's just gaslighting at this point. Also, BuzzFeed reported this week that lots of Android apps are sending information back to Facebook when you use them, including things like your dating profiles on Tinder or Grindr, or even healthcare data. And again, This isn't actually that uncommon for Android apps, which all seem to be telling each other everything all the time like a gossipy little book club. It's just that no one really realizes it, it's not clear how to turn it off, and nobody is putting a lot of time and effort into making it clear to we the consumer just what they mean when they keep saying we have complete control over their data when it turns out we have exactly the opposite. Or that maybe by complete control, you mean the same way I have complete control over like my own ability to climb Mount Everest, which sure, I do, but it's not like it's a spur-of-the-moment spring break trip. And yet, even a how-to for climbing Mount Everest is easier to understand than untangling the insane web of supposed permissions that got us to this point at all in data oversharing, let alone which parts are just companies being sloppy and stupid, like Facebook leaving access tunnels to third-party apps open for 3 years after they were supposed to be closed. And then which parts just feel like deliberate foot dragging, like Facebook not figuring out how to give me one button that lets me clear my whole data history 6 months after it said it would, with no button in sight, by the way. So yeah, you can understand why we are ready to freak out at this freshest hell of quote unquote sharing, which was designed to make our lives so much easier. And like when 16-year-olds are discovering that there are tunnels between the houses of Congress on Instagram, it kind of just seems like it shouldn't feel like such a large and terrible compromise. Just get it together, Facebook. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Here's an investment opportunity with a guaranteed return. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you trust. And the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org. And thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.